What do you do when you feel like giving up? Maybe you're struggling with a health issue or struggling with a broken relationship or a financial problem, or maybe you're just depressed because nothing seems to be going right and you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. What do you do? Well, I've got some good news for you today, and it's going to encourage you. God is ready to meet your every need. The truth is, God is for you, and He wants to give you hope, and He wants to give you joy, and He wants to heal your hidden wounds, and He wants you to learn to trust Him when the odds are against you. God is guiding you to the place where you can say, "Yes, I will trust God to meet my greatest needs." Join me today for Daily Hope as we discover how God meets our deepest needs.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in a series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs with part one of a message called How to Live a Joy-Filled Life, taken from Psalms 3. And now, here's Rick.
Would you agree that there are many killjoys in life? In a world where in the same week we can have Kosovo and Colorado and Oklahoma City, the world is in desperate need of massive doses of joy. Do you agree with that? Now, you need joy in your life. This is not just some casual thing that, oh, it'd be nice to have. You have a fundamental emotional need for joy in your life. Life without joy is overwhelming. Life without joy is overburdened. Life without joy is oppressive. Studies have actually shown that the more joy we have in our lives, the more productive we are. In fact, I read last night an article by U.S. News and World Report saying that corporations are now hiring joy consultants to kind of pop up and build up the joy in people's lives so that all the employees will be more productive. That it is true that you have more energy, more creativity, more productivity, the more joy you have in your life. Now, for several weeks, we've been in this series on how God wants to meet your deepest needs. And that includes your need for joy. In fact, one of the names of God over in Psalm 43, in the Hebrew, the Bible says God's name is El Simchath Gali, which means, I am the God of exceeding joy. I am the God that knows how to party. I am the God of overflowing, abundant joy. Now, when you talk about joy, of course, you have to go to the book of Philippians, that little short book in the New Testament. It's only 4 chapters long, but 16 times in 4 chapters, Paul says, rejoice, be joyful, enjoy life. 16 times he uses the word joy in 4 chapters. Now, the amazing thing is, Paul didn't write this book while he was on vacation in, you know, the Caribbean. He was in prison, in a dungeon, in Rome, awaiting to be executed. And in the darkest days of his life, he writes the most positive book in the Bible. And he gives us his 6 joy builders. They are the opposite of the joy busters in life. They are the antidotes to the killjoys of life. And to help you remember them today, I put them in a little acrostic, J-O-Y-F-U-L. 6 joy builders. If you will get out a piece of paper, write these down, and begin to practice these things in your life, you will find depression lifting, discouragement diffusing, and a new sense of joy in your life, which you need. Number one, the J in joyful stands for jettison all regrets about my past. Jettison all regrets about my past. Now, you know what jettison means. It means to throw overboard. And whether it's an airplane that's trying to lighten its load by throwing out cargo so it can stay aloft, or it's a boat trying to stay afloat and so they throw the cargo overboard, jettison means to abandon as worthless, to discard, to eliminate, to get rid of. And Paul says if you want to enjoy life, there are some things you got to chuck. There are some things you got to get rid of. There are some things you have to throw overboard in your life because they are wearing you down and they are overburdening your life. And the first thing he says you got to jettison is regrets about the past. Now, we all have regrets. I mean, everybody's got skeletons in the closet because nobody's perfect. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote the Sherlock Holmes series, once was decided to play a prank on some very important people in England, and so he wrote an anonymous note to 8 prominent men in England, and the note said, unsigned, "All is found out, flee at once." And he just wanted to see what would happen. In 24 hours, all 8 men had left the country. Now, I'm sure we could find out certain things about you that would cause you to want to leave this service right now. But we all have regrets. The only problem with regret is it doesn't work. It cannot change your past, and so it just makes you miserable. When we get stuck in the land of if-onlys, if only I could redo my life, if only I could change things, if only I could relive that part, if only I could resolve things differently and make different decisions. Well, you can't. And so it's not going to change by regretting. Regretting is just a waste of time. You say, well, what do I do? The Bible says forget it. Did you know that once you forget it, then you can get on with your life? I say, well, how can I do that? You can forget it because God does. The Bible says that when we come to God and we say, God, I'm sorry, I've blown it, I've made a mistake. When we come to Christ and we confess our sins to him, that he takes those sins, he throws them in the deepest parts up the part of the ocean, and he puts up a no fishing sign. And the Bible says, their sins will I remember no more. That's an amazing verse. That the God of the universe chooses to forget your mistakes once they're confessed. Now, if God can forget your mistakes and your sins, so can you. And then you can get on with life. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, this isn't on your outline, says, forget what happened in the past and don't dwell on events from long ago, because I'm going to do something new. The starting point of joy is to let go of the past. Jettison all regrets, the grief, the grudges, and the guilt. Then the O in joyful stands for omit all worries about my future. Now we got to face the other end of life. If you're going to enjoy the present, you must omit all worries about your future. And worry, hands down, is the greatest killjoy of them all. You cannot be joyful and worried at the same time. We've talked about this many times. Worry only makes things worse. The more you worry about something, the bigger it gets in your mind, turn mountain into molehills. Vice versa. Molehills into mountains. And it exaggerates and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger in your mind. Worry is just as useless as regret. You can't change the past. You can't change the future. So Paul's antidote are these verses. First, look at the first verse, Philippians 3:13. One thing I do is forget what is behind me and do my best to reach out what is ahead. Okay, circle the phrase, forget what is behind me. He says, I start by doing that. And then look at the next verse. And then he talks about the future. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. He's saying there are 2 days you shouldn't worry about, yesterday and tomorrow. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Now, here's his alternative. You can either worry or you can pray. If you are worrying, it means one thing. You're not praying. If you are praying, you don't have to worry. So Paul says, if you want to be filled with joy, you got to forget the past and you got to forget the future and you got to focus on right now. Don't worry and don't regret, because I have a plan for your life. Did you know that the old English word for worry is the word means to choke or to strangle? That's what the English word for worry means, to choke or to strangle. Today the word is necktie. Okay, now you've seen the coat, all right? We can take this off now. All right. Worry like a necktie can cut off the blood of your carotid artery. You can't think straight, and you can do really stupid things when you worry. Paul says, omit all worry about your future, and instead pray. The Y in joyful stands for yield myself to God's purpose. Yield myself to God's purpose. Because a third killjoy in life is having no real purpose at all. If you're just drifting, if you don't know where you came from, where you're going, and why you're here, well, of course you're not going to have any joy in your life. You're just going to kind of cruise on autopilot through life, substituting happiness for joy, short-term pleasure for joy. You see, we all need a cause greater than ourselves for which to live for, and that is what brings us joy. Living for yourself does not bring joy. Now, when Paul is writing this letter, he has literally lost everything. He's old, he's in prison, he's in poor health, he's lonely, he's living in a dungeon in Rome, chained to a Roman praetorian guard 24 hours a day. So they've taken away everything from this guy. He has no friends. He has no ministry. He has no freedom. He even has no privacy, since a guard is chained to him 24 hours a day. But there is one thing that they could not take away from Paul: his purpose in life.
That's Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called How to Live a Joy-Filled Life from the series How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. Rick's going to be right back, so please stay tuned. Pastor Rick has served the church locally, nationally, and internationally for more than 30 years. He's the author of many books, including The Purpose-Driven Life. We want to know if you've been helped through Rick's ministry, and he would love to hear your story, so please connect with us at the Daily Hope website at rickwarren.org or just call 1-800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org or call us 1-800-600-5004. More Daily Hope in a moment when Rick Warren returns.
How do you cope with stress, failure, depression, worry? In his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren goes to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges, using the examples of different biblical characters that faced the same issues. Each of these studies offers simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, family, and work. To get your copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, for a gift of any amount in support of this ministry, go to rickwarren.org.
Once again, here's Rick Warren.
Now, when Paul is writing this letter, he has literally lost everything. He's old. He's in prison. He's in poor health. He's lonely. He's living in a dungeon in Rome, chained to a Roman Praetorian guard 24 hours a day. So they've taken away everything from this guy. He has no friends. He has no ministry. He has no freedom. He even has no privacy, since a guard is chained to him 24 hours a day. But there is one thing that they could not take away from Paul: his purpose in life. And so Paul says in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ." For me to live is Christ. A one-word purpose: I live for Christ. In 2 Timothy, another book he wrote at the same time, he says, "My only purpose in life is to please him." Now listen. If you want to have a joy-filled life, if you want to get out of the dumps and into the joy zone, you need to get in line with God's purpose for your life. You need to make that statement where you say, "God, I give myself to you, and I want you to put your purpose in my life." And when you begin to live the purpose for which you were made, all of a sudden life makes sense, and all of a sudden the joy goes up. Look at this verse. Let's read it together, Romans 6:13. "Give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, to be tools in the hand of God, to be used for His good purpose." I dare you to pray the most dangerous prayer. The most dangerous prayer is the two words, "Use me." Use me. That's the most dangerous prayer you can ever pray. I prayed that prayer when I was 17 years old, and I had no idea for the adventure that I was in for. My only regret now is that I didn't pray it earlier, that I didn't pray it sooner, that I wasted even years before that. If you want to experience the joy that is beyond explanation, pray the prayer, "Use me, God," because there is no greater thrill in life, none, whatever, to feeling God use you in the life of another person. Nothing even vaguely comes close to the thrill of being used by God. And I want to tell you from experience that if you get usable, God will use you. In fact, He'll wear you out. Because God is looking for people who will yield themselves to His purpose. The F in joyful stands for focus. Focus on what's good. Once I've yielded myself to God's purpose, I need to start looking around in the world at what's God been doing. Now, as you know, life is filled with ups and downs. We have mountains and valleys. We have wins and losses. We have good times and bad times. We have critics and we have compliments. And, of course, you have a choice. Which are you going to focus on? Now, you can walk around looking at all the bad things in your life, or you can go around looking at all the good things in your life. It's your choice. Looking at the cup, is it half full or is it half empty? But it is your choice, and every day you're making that choice. What am I choosing to focus on? Listen, even on your worst day, life is good. Even on your worst day, you have it better off than many, many other people in this world. And so you can choose to focus on what is good. Paul gives us his fourth joy builder in Philippians 4, verse 8. He says, fix your thoughts, that's focus, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, where do you get a list of things like that? Talk radio? Not likely. Television? Is that where you're going to find things that are true and admirable and pure and excellent? No. The newspaper? Magazines? No. There's one place you can count on. It's this book. God's Word. The more you fill your mind with this book, the more positive, the more joyful you're going to be. Because this is true. This is right. This is admirable. This is worthy of value. And so fill your mind every day. Spend some time reading God's Word. You see, in your mind, there is this scale of the negative thoughts you get every day, the negative input, and the positive input. Now, you don't have to go looking for negative thoughts. They're all over. And people are more than happy to give them to you on a regular basis. And so as you just go through life, you get a lot of pebbles put on the negative side of your brain. And if you don't counterbalance that intentionally with God's truth, with God's Word, with positive thoughts and beautiful ideas, then you're going to get out of balance. And the negative is going to outweigh the positive in your life. And it's no wonder you're depressed. It's no wonder you're down all the time. It's no wonder you're discouraged. You don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Why? You don't have any food to feed the soul food that's going to equal out and equalize the negative in your life. Paul says, if you want to have joy, the fourth joy builder is to build or focus on what is good. Now, Paul practiced this himself. I mean, even when he's in prison, had every reason to be bitter, every reason to complain, every reason to have a pity party. All of his friends had left him. He's alone. He's old. He's in prison, unjustly going to be persecuted and executed. And while he was in prison, Christians turned against him and were attacking him incessantly. He was criticized unjustly. Now, if there's anything that takes away our joy any faster than criticism, I don't know what it is. Just let somebody say something about how you look or about what you said or make a judgment against you. Immediately, you lose your joy. You want to retaliate. You want to get even. You want to criticize back. You start stewing in your mind. And Paul says, I don't have time for critics. I have yielded myself to God's purpose. I'm focusing on what's good. The last thing I'm going to do is let some stupid critic rob me of my joy. And so he says, I'm not even going to allow other people to take my joy from me. I don't have time to mess with critics. Now, let me make a little application here. The reason why you're unhappy a lot of the time is because you get too concerned about trivial issues. The reason you lose your joy so rapidly is that you don't focus on the things that really matter. You allow unimportant things to upset you. How many arguments in your family are really over major issues? Isn't it true that a lot of the conflict in your life, a lot of the joy, killjoys in your life, are over inconsequential things that aren't even going to matter 30 minutes from now? Much less for eternity.
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. You know, in a moment, Rick's going to come back and share a closing thought, but right now, I'm going to tell you about the Daily Hope website. It's rickwarren.org. If you log on today, you can get today's entire message, you'll get message notes, social media links, and sign up for Rick's Daily Hope devotional. So log on now at rickwarren.org. Also, we don't have to tell you that life is filled with tough situations, stress, crisis, discouragement, depression, failure, and the Bible offers time-tested answers to life's difficult questions. Taking you inside the lives of biblical characters such as Moses, Paul, and Jesus himself, Pastor Rick has written a book called God's answers to life's difficult questions. In it, he shares their stories and gives you concrete, easy-to-understand insights that you can put to work immediately in your own life. And now today, we want to send you this special hardback book to thank you for your gift of any amount to support this Daily Hope broadcast. God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions gives you the keys to a better life. Change may not come overnight, but with patience and prayer, you will see a difference, and in the process, you'll be encouraged that God can and will help you attain the purpose and significance for which you were created. So go ahead and give us a call to request your copy of God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. 1-800-600-5004. And now, here's Rick with a closing thought.
We all need joy in life. It's a fundamental need. You need to be joyful. Because life without joy is overwhelming. In fact, life was meant to be enjoyed, not merely endured. Without joy, life is overwhelming, it's overburdened, and it's oppressive. On the other hand, a joyful person has more energy, more creativity, and more productivity. You got to have joy. In fact, one of the names of God in Psalm 43 is, listen to this, El Simchat Gali. That's a mouthful. El Simchat Gali. It means, I'm the God of exceeding joy. Isn't that a great name for God? God says, I'm the happy God. I'm the joyful God. I'm the celebration God. I'm the God who knows how to party. Are you doing that with your life? In spite of the fact that we live in a broken world, yes, there is sorrow, there's suffering, there's sickness, there's sadness. But the Bible says, I am the God of exceeding joy. It's a choice to rejoice. How do I do that? Well, first, I got to jettison all the regrets about my past. If you get stuck in the land of if-onlys, if you get stuck in the land of one-day I'll or someday I'll, then you're never going to change. You're never going to experience joy. You get stuck. But if you say, Jesus Christ, I'm coming to you. I'm confessing my sins, and I'm asking you to give me a fresh slate, a start over. He takes those sins, and the Bible says he throws them into the deepest parts of the ocean. Did you know that? The Bible says that God takes our sins and throws them in the deepest part of the ocean. I love that word picture. And then I imagine he puts up a no fishing sign. In other words, don't you pull back what you've already thrown away. The Bible says, their sins I will remember no more. Now think about this. Can God forget anything? Yes. God chooses to forget confessed sins. And if God can forget your sins and God can forget your mistakes once they're confessed, so can you. The second thing I need to do is I omit all the worries about my future. God gives us a choice. You can either worry or you can worship. You can panic or you can pray. You can give it to God or you can hold on to it and be miserable. When you pray, you don't have time to worry. Now, follow me on this. If you prayed as much as you worried, you'd have a whole lot less to worry about. So, you let go of the past, and you let go of the future. And third, you yield yourself to God's purpose today. The Bible says, sufficient unto each day is the trouble thereof, or the evil thereof. In other words, you got enough problems today, you don't need to go grabbing them out of the past or out of the future. If you want to get out of the dumps, you want to get into the joy zone, you need to get in line with God's plan and God's purpose for your life. And when you begin to live that purpose for which you were made, you were driven, you're guided, you're controlled, you're directed by God's purpose, all of a sudden, life makes sense. And when that happens, joy begins to overflow. Joy comes out of meaning. Joy comes out of purpose. The Bible says it like this. Romans 6:13. Give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, to be tools in the hands of God to be used for his good purposes. I dare you to pray the most dangerous prayer you'll ever pray. And I challenge you to pray it today. It's only a two-word prayer, but it's the riskiest prayer you'll ever pray. Two words. Use me. Will you do that right now? Whether you're listening at home or in your car, or wherever you are, just say, God, use me. I'm going to let go of the past. I'm not going to worry about the future. I want you to use me today. And watch the joy begin to bubble up in your life. I'm Rick, and I hope you'll join me next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.